Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
City
News.
It's 17:30 GMT. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. I am Umaru Sanda Amadu. Tonight, I'm here with
Hawa Idrisu Mustafa.
And coming up over the next 90 minutes.
The decision to depart from the PNC comes as a result of the fact that we disagree with the ruling of the High Court of 8 April 2024. Interim chairman and leader, the Janet Asalan Abla.
Ghana's hopes of having a serious political party representing the Kwame Nkrumah tradition keeps becoming a fleeting aspiration. Tonight we'll hear how Dr. Hilary Mann's PNC has disintegrated once again following the breakaway of a number of executives to form a new party named PMP. Also coming up in Kumasi, the controversial Ameri power plant has been recommissioned to solve Ghana's power challenges. We'll be understanding more on what transpired in the Ashanti region. And later on Eyewitness News.
This is our property. This is our heritage. The land belongs to Parks and Gardens. And we didn't even call the workers. So they came voluntarily to fight the intruders.
The fight over land that belongs to the Department of Parks and Gardens continues as a claimant to the land, Reverend Dr. Ezekiel, keeps bringing persons who were armed and who are planning to work on the property. The workers of the Department of Parks and Gardens had to fight off these persons today. Stay with 97.3 CTFM for more on this and many other stories on Eyewitness News. And in business,
rate for producer price inflation rises to 16.5% in March 2024.
That's in 50 minutes from the City Business Desk. Eyewitness News is live across Ghana on a host of affiliate stations. In the Upper West Region, we are on Bugli Radio 88.6 in Wa. In the Upper East Region, we are on Word 88.3 FM in Zwarungu. In the Northern Region, we are on Dasuma 99.1 FM in Yendi. In the Volta Region, we are on Holy 98.5 FM in Aplau. In the Eastern Region, we are on Right 90.1 FM in Somanya. In the Ashanti region, we are on Orange 107.9 FM in Kumasi. In the Bono region, we are on Greener 95.9 in Suyani. In the Western region, we are on Premier 100.5 FM, Beach 105.5 FM, and Sky Power 93.5 FM, all of them based in Takrady. We are live on YouTube, that is CityTube. We are live on citynewsroom.com, that's our website. We are also on Facebook, and we are interactive, which means you can send us your messages on 0549-986-996. That's a WhatsApp platform, 0549-986-996. Alternatively, you can go on Twitter, now known as X, and drop your message there. The hashtag is City Newsroom. The handle at Umaru Sanda. Let's start off now with the main story we are looking at today, which has to do with the problems in the Kwame Nkrumah political party, or the Nkrumah's front, PNC, is in turmoil. Hawa has our story.
11 out of 16 national executives of the People's National Convention, PNC, have announced their exit to form a new political party. The group of executives led by former PNC General Secretary Janet Nabla subsequently announced the formation of a new party known as the People's National Party, PNP. The decision is the culmination of events since the High Court affirmed the suspension of Janet Nabla as General Secretary. During a press briefing in Accra earlier today, Interim General Secretary of the new party, Sulemana Seydu, said their exit from the PNC was necessitated by behavior of their leader.
Let's go on the phone lines and speak to Janet Nabla. She is the Interim National Chairperson of this newly created People's National Party. Madam, you're welcome to Eyewitness News. Apologies, that doesn't sound like Janet Nabla. We'll try to re-establish connections with her. But just a few background information to that story. So somewhere last year, so the PNC led by Apasara, David Apasara, decided to suspend Janet Nabla as the general secretary of the party. She said she was not going to go down without fighting. Indeed, she fought so many. She fought on so many fronts the party's position. The party disagreed with her position and insisted that she was a suspended officer. The issue was taken to court, and last week the court made a determination, the High Court made a determination that said Janet Nabla's removal was appropriate and it was done properly. Now, subsequent to that, Janet Nabla said she did not respect, she actually said that she did not regard the decision of the court. She said and insisted that the party did not have a leader in Apasara and the other persons who were leading it, insisting that she was the right person to hold the position that she was holding. She accused David Apasara and the other officers of the party of engaging in activities that are undermining the fortunes of the party. She said she was going to appeal the case and she was going to let her lawyers go to court and appeal the decision of the judge in the High Court. And then today we were invited to a press conference, at which press conference this particular announcement was made, the announcement that a new party has been created. Let's understand further before we go back to Janet Nabla. Mr. Seydou Suleimana, who is supposed to be the interim general secretary of this party now known as People's National Party, PNP, spoke to the media and explained their ideas.
The decision to depart from the PNC comes as a result of the fact that we disagree with the ruling of the High Court of 8th April 2024. For reinstating individuals whom we believe were rightfully dismissed from the leadership positions due to financial malfeasance and misconduct. We, the members of the National Executive Committee, representing 11 out of 16 regions, disagree with the ruling, and we cannot, in good conscience, allow individuals we believe are lacking integrity and credibility to govern our party, especially when the legacy of our cherished founder, Dr. Hilary Mann, is one of sacrifice without blemish. As we approach the pivotal elections of 2024, we recognize that credibility is paramount. Our party, the People's National Party, will uphold the values of honesty, integrity, and transparency. We will not compromise on these principles, nor shall we allow the tarnishing of our founder's legacy by individuals with stained hands. In light of these circumstances, we are pleased to announce the interim executives of the national offices of the PNP. Their names are as follows. Interim chairman and leader be Janet Asana Nabla, vice chairman Francis Opong, general secretary Suleiman Esedu, the deputy general secretary Abdul Kadir Isa, the national organizer Francis Dasu, deputy organizer Christina Aname. Our treasurer will be Jessica Abutari. We have built all that means to continue to support us as we embark on this new journey. Together, we uphold the legacy of integrity and honesty set forth by Dr. Hilary Mann and work tirelessly to serve the best interests of our nation.
So that's Suleiman Seydou. He is the interim general secretary of the People's National Party, a breakaway party from the People's National Convention. The PNC has swiftly issued a statement signed by its national communications Secretary Audu Ishak, and is describing the breakaway as purported formation of a breakaway party from the PNC. He's joined us on the line. Audu, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Thank you, Umaru.
How are you receiving this news? Already, you are a broken party. Now, it appears your third leg has moved out. You are on a two-wheel agenda.
Well, for me, it is freedom to the PNC. The breakaway of this group of people is akin to a diseased tooth in their mouth. Until that particular tooth is removed, the mouth, as you know, would have to continue to chew with caution. So the voluntary decision by Janet and her group to break away or to leave the PNC and to go ahead to purportedly form a political party has come to the PNC as good news.
It's good that you're quoting Olarotimi about the rotting tooth being pulled away to enable the mouth chew without really being cautious. The only problem is that in your case, your teeth aren't that many, and you need all of them to be able to chew. Now that I've lost as many as 11 teeth out of 16 teeth in your mouth, I dare say you're going to start grinding your corn before you swallow.
I'm delighted that you are speaking specifically to that statement issued by this group. Now, Umaru, conservative analysis will tell you that National Executive Committee members of the PNC are far way more than just 16. So I don't understand why this particular statement by this purported new party has reduced the National Executive Committee membership of the PNC to just 16, and they are standing on a supposed 11 members having broken away to form a new political party. For the record, every National Executive Committee, every National Executive of the PNC is a member of NEC. Every Regional Chairman is a member of NEC. Every Regional Secretary is a member of NEC. Do the mathematics. Just take only two Secretary and Chairman from each region, 16 regions, that gives you 32 members. So why are they lying that 11 out of 16 NEC members, PNC NEC membership, is more than 16. We are close to 40 members at NEC. You understand? So if 11 out of about 40 members decide to break away from the PNC to go and form a new political party, you are at liberty. The decision to join or to leave a political party is a voluntary decision. So it does not matter your number. But you must be truthful to yourself, you must be truthful to the general public, and you must be truthful to your own conscience. As I speak to you, if they claim that 11 out of 16 NEC members, which are the NEC members? Are they National Executive Committee? Are they National Executives? Are they Regional Executives? Are they leaders nominees to NEC? Or who are those supposed 11 members? So the history surrounding this particular impasse that has plagued the PNC leadership since 2021, times without number, we have issued countless statements clarifying the position of these belligerent and unrepentant members of the PNC who have been self-seeking and are very selfish in an agenda to break the PNC and to destroy the fortunes of the PNC. And so if today, after having done so much unsuccessfully, they have decided to exercise a right given to them by the constitution that we practice as a country, well, they have a right to join the political party and they have the right to leave a political party. Mm. There is no compulsion in membership of the political party.
11...
So if they decide to leave today, I think that the PNC is better off without a group of people who are only seeking to pursue a selfish and a self-seeking agenda.
11 out of 40, you see. In fact, one other officer of your party has sent me a message saying that Article 43 of your party interprets NEC membership as follows: all elected national officers who are 17, founding member, one, that's 18, regional chairman and secretaries, who are 32, leadership, that's leaders, nominees, 5, council of elders, 7, and that the total is 62. Now, be that as may, if you were the 40 we are working with, that's a quarter of your executive front going away. If it is 60, that's like 1/6 of your executives moving away.
I use the word conservative, because when you talk about founding members, most of our founding members as of now are not alive.
So the practical number is 40. So a quarter of your executive team
goes away,
and you think it's good riddance to rubbish?
Yes, of course. If 3/4 of the members were able to leave, 3/4 of members with such character as exhibited by this group of people, the party will be better off without them.
What is their character? They say that your leader behaves in a way that a leader ought not to, and that is why they had to move. Is one of them. They said he's a tyrant who they cannot work with, and he's incompetent, and several other adjectives that they use against him.
It's akin to giving a dog a bad name in order to hang it. The party has a constitution. The party has a structure. And there's procedure in how the party ought to be run. And so if a petition is signed against an officer of the party, which happened to be Ms. Jandendabla at the time, she was general secretary of the party, and she was given the opportunity to appear before a disciplinary committee to go and explain herself as far as the contents of the petition is concerned, and she refuses to appear before the disciplinary committee, the disciplinary committee issues its report and NEC goes to adopt the report of the disciplinary committee, which recommended indefinite suspension. We did not sack her from the party. She was given an opportunity for a fair hearing. She refused. And now she goes to also organize a group of people who are not members of NEC. They are not national executives. They are not regional executives. They don't qualify to be NEC members. And then they also purport to go and suspend every other member of the National Executive Committee except Janet alone. And then the matter goes to court. You have representation in court. The matter has dragged all this while since 2021 for 3 good years. The court gives judgment, and you say that you disagree with the judgment and indicated that you were going for an appeal. Even at that stage, some of us still preach reconciliation. We said that right appeal is of your right. You have the right to appeal. Then you decide to abandon that window of opportunity. You do not even resort to internal mechanisms within the party, and you think that breaking away from the party is the only way by which you can have your way as far as political party leadership is concerned. Good riddance. The PNC is better off, and I would continue to say that.
She was your general secretary, which means she was an administrator of your party, the chief scribe of your party. She has she had supporters. The other persons who were following her also had supporters. So on the face of it, it looks like 11 out of 40 people have left. But if you spread it, even if each of the 11 had, 10 followers, that's 110 people leaving you. You know how your performance has been at elections. Horrible. Poor performance. You haven't performed in any election since 2008 to the level that is expected of you, if not 2005. If so many people are leaving you, your party is essentially dead.
Well, we are not dead. If we were dead, I would not be here speaking to you.
Maybe you are the only one left, the last man standing, perhaps.
I am not the only one left, Omaru.
What is the total population of registered members of PNC, by the way?
Well, I do not have those records because we do not have, as it were, a database as of now because of what has plagued the party all this while. But we go to elections, and we have people who vote for us. Of course, our performance here, election after election, has not been encouraging because we don't appreciate. But suffice it to say that it is probably because we have people like Ms. Janet Nabila and her ilk who pretend to be leaders of the PNC when in actual sense they care more about themselves rather than the fortunes of the PNC. So we need committed, sacrificial members who as it were, would conduct themselves and how do I put it, and carry out their mandate as expected of leadership of a political party.
Does it mean the party made a mistake, the party base made a mistake when it elected her as secretary?
She was not the first secretary of a party that has been suspended. It has happened in various other political parties. People in their line of duty can err. It does not mean that delegates made a mistake. But if you err, you must admit that you erred. And that is why the party gives an opportunity for people to explain themselves by way of disciplinary procedure.
Very well. Moving forward, what are you going to do? You have vacancies to fill.
Well, if you were to go through the statement I issued in response to this purported breakaway, you would see that we have indicated a way forward. Tomorrow, we would be meeting the press and we would outline the forward look of the PNC as a political party.
Do you have any suspicion as to who may be sponsoring Janet Nabla and other persons to do what they did?
Do you have any snowball
in your party?
Of course, Janet Nabla has always enjoyed the tacit and total support of Dr. Edward Mahama, the largest beneficiary of the PNC as a political party. The founder of this party practically handed over the party to Dr. Edward Mahama on a silver platter. He contributed nothing to the formation of the PNC. He has invested nothing in the PNC. People have always supported him all this while. He is the longest serving leader of the PNC, and this is the way he has resorted to paying back the PNC. We are not suspecting. It is not a suspicion. It is not a snowball. We know for a fact that Janet is being spurred on and is being supported by Dr. Edward Mahama to do what she is doing.
Why would he be doing that?
Well, I do not know why she is doing that. Because time after time, the leadership of the PNC had cause to complain to Dr. Edward Mahama, to appeal to him to set Janet down for us to resolve this matter. And he says no.
Because he has retired. He's busy in his hospital taking care of people and left your party for you. You can't manage the party in his absence?
In fact, if he had left the party for us, the party would have been in a very good position. He pretends not to be interested in the affairs of the party, but backstage, he's there calling people and telling them to keep supporting Janet. We get the feedback. He looks for sponsors for Janet Nabla. When he was ambassador at large, every opportunity he got that would benefit the party, it went straight and directly to only Janet and not the PNC as a political party.
How long is it going to take you to heal from this and possibly bounce back?
We are bouncing back. We have given ourselves a timeline that by the close of June, we would have completed our reorganization process. The reorganization involves what? The election of branch or the election or selection of branch executives, constituency executives, regional executives, national executives, and then flag bearer of the party in readiness for the elections of 2024.
You're sure
2 months from now.
You're sure you can do that?
We have that firm belief.
Wish you all the best and thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you, Umaru.
That's Audu Ishak. He's a National Communications Secretary of the People's National Convention, which has just given birth to the People's National Party. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 CTFM. We'll return with more. Please stay.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
You're welcome back. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 CTFM. We are coming to you from our studios in Adabraka, in Accra. This evening, we're talking about the People's National Convention. We just spoke to Audu Ishak, his National Communications Secretary of the party. The party has had a breakaway group forming the People's National Party, and the leader of that new party is Janet Nabla. She was until recently the General Secretary of the People's National Convention. She's joining us on the line. Madam, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Oh, Umar, thank you.
The last time we spoke, you told me you had spoken to your lawyers, you were going to appeal a decision of the High Court. You didn't mention to me at all that you were going to give birth to a new party and run away from your PNC. What happened? What changed your mind?
Oh, Omar, I did. We appealed against it. You know, I'm not for myself. I'm being governed by the National Executive Council, the people that I'm working for. So when that happened, I need to, listen, I called them and they told me that I should wait. So I waited. They came here, I think when, for 3 days now, they've been in Accra here deliberating on the court case and then what to do next. And I think that they came, it was a unanimous decision by 11 regions, unanimous decision that this is where they want to go. That they are tired of going to court because the PNC has already stated categorically that on behalf issues, going to court is not a decent issue to court. We should rather use internal party mechanisms to solve our differences. Here is the case. We have someone who is a Pasara who did not, he doesn't care about rules and regulations. He doesn't care about constitution. He thinks that cutting breakers and passing through the doors and unapproved rules is what he will do to become whatever he wants to be. So when the party realized that, they realized that we have been suffering party to hold a name for someone who doesn't deserve to even be a leader of our party. So they decided to break away. So now PNC is a party of empty boxes because if you are there, you don't have a legacy, you don't have party officers, and you call yourself a party, then we don't care about whatever happens to them. But all what we are saying is that we have moved. We have moved to force it through PNC, and now it is a PNP.
Uh-huh. But so, if you love the PNC,
and we are so happy.
But if you love the PNC, you wouldn't have moved. You would have stayed to fix it, or?
It is not true. It's not true. Because how was I going to stay and make it work? How? Because people who have ulterior motives, who don't pass through the right rules, people who pass through windows and turns to make it work, are dangerous people. They are the reason why Ghana is the way it is. Because they are those who get power to be able to become rulers. Because they do things that those who are who have credibility will not do. Those who have credibility will like to do the right thing in order to make sure that things should work natural ways so that people should get what they are supposed to get. These people will be the first people to run for political party positions. That is why I was telling you in the last time I was saying that we said we want to build political parties. It's good. But those who be national executives, there is time now that media people should start looking at their backgrounds. Because if a political party should bring people who have no credibility, people who have no integrity to come and rule that political party, they will end up, their party will end up winning, and they will use the things that they always use, you know, to make sure that Ghana will not become the way we want it to be. People who are vulnerable people, people who have no power to do anything, will continue to cry whilst they laugh. So that is why we left. We left because a judge cannot tell us that this is the person who should come and rule you. A party has dismissed a person from their addition, and a judge has dismissed him for misconduct and financial malfeasance. And a judge says that he's the one that this one. And then the judge dismissed a general secretary and then appoint a chairman and leader for the party. This is not how democracy should work. That's not how. I'm saying this with very heavy heart because Apasara did a meeting. He conducted a meeting, and said it was PNC. Before you call something next, 9 regional chairmen has to come to your meeting. Half of the region, a regional chairman must come to your meeting to be called next. And Apasara did not do that. Every day, chairman came to his meeting and he called it next. We alerted the judge. We told the judge that even he has no proof that he even had a meeting. The judge asked him to bring documents. Apasara brought a blank paper. My lawyer told the judge that, my lord, I cannot read this document. But if you can read it, collect and see. The judge took it and said he couldn't also read it. Mm. So on what basis did he make Apasara ruler to win this?
So
it's a law thing. No, I'm just saying that is one of the reasons why they went away. Because we cannot be able to listen. We don't know how they do that. So, and we don't want law terms. So we decided to break away and form our party to make sure that what we think Ghanaians need, integrity, honesty, transparency, to make sure that we have credibility to be able to handle the problems that Ghana is facing.
It appears that you will not be missed in the PNC at all. In fact, I spoke to Audu Ishak. He says you are good riddance, actually. Your departure is exciting news. It's the best thing that the PNC has gotten.
Look at the person who is talking to you. That is Bernard's boy. He's the same person who went to WA and sold Bernard to another person and collected money to buy a car.
Hold on. Which Bernard? And what does that even mean? What are you saying?
Bernard was contesting. According to the information that we had, all of a sudden, Audu went and joined now our Speaker of Parliament, his camp. Gave Bernard information, everything to Honorable Speaker. And collected it. That is what we had, and took a car as a result. So those are the people Apasara wants to work with. Anytime you hear that Apasara buddy is somebody, better start doing some investigations. Better start some investigation about that person.
But she's a national officer, and she says that your exit is actually what the party needed.
No, he has never been a national officer. This guy, nobody, because that position he's holding, it is an appointed position. Ask him that who appointed him. You understand? We want rules and regulations to work. We look at people who have backgrounds that are very dirty. But Ghana should not be able to, these people should not even join constituency. But Apasara is working with them. One of the things that have made me happy, my BP has been up. Ever since Apasara won the court case, the BP came down. It came down because God wanted to give us a clear way path. Because God cannot allow you to be among certain people to grow. Because the things that Apasara was doing, we were forced to also do certain things that are not good in the sight of God. When we prayed, God told us that don't follow his path. The PNC is no more. The PNC have, to me, as a party, you don't know. I would even go and ask him that, where is he coming from? What region is he coming from? How can a political party now be there without region?
Okay.
I said 11 regions have moved away from the PNC. Leaving six. Those six regions are not Apasara, they are for Bernard Mona. Five regions, they are for Bernard Mona. So you ask yourself, what is Apasara there doing as a leader?
All right.
We are happy that we have left.
Let's talk about your departure now. PMP, that's the name of your first party, isn't it? Dr. Hilary Lehmann's party, PMP, right?
Yes.
Where is that where you took the inspiration from?
Yes, because people have been asking me why I am in the PNC. And I said, I am there because when I look at the legacy of the man, when I look at how transparent this man was, when I look at how genuine the man wanted Ghana to move to where that he wanted it to be, that he could not achieve it, it gives me the joy that no matter what, Ghana will make it. No matter how people have invaded our country with monocracy, now democracy has been thrown to the dog, and now monocracy has taken the way. No matter how that happens, we know that Ghana will rise again. And if Ghana... They did not join party because they want money. They joined the party because they believe in the ideology of the party. Then Ghana will get there. Ghana will get there. And the PNC, the PNP will try our possible best to make sure that we will educate Ghanaians, and Ghanaians will come to realize that it is not money that can be able to solve our problem. When we talk about corruption in the country, the corruption in the country can be capped if people stop making corruption a political issue. It's not political. You go to the market and people are doing all sorts of things. Wherever you pass, things are happening. When we start educating our children at schools what corruption is, then we'll start erading corruption out of our fibers. And at the end of the day, Ghana will become what it has to be. But now, because of politics, we will politicize it. But if we politicize it, we'll not get there.
Jenna, have you considered the legal implications of reviving PMP? Someone who is still with the PNC has sent me a message, and he says that he said that the PNP was dissolved in 1981 after the revolution, the coup, and that to resurrect or re-register the PMP, you would require the founding members of the PNP who founded the PMP in 1979 to be part of the process. And he's referencing the case of the Convention People's Party. When they tried to revive it in 1996, it had to be taken to court, and the decision was that you would have to go through that process. Have you considered, have your lawyers advised you on whether or not you can name this your new party, the People's National Party, which used to exist in the past? And which are you sure?
So, I have asked the Electoral Commission.
Okay.
We have gone to, I think they sent a delegation to the Electoral Commission to do all the inquiries. So yesterday, the delegation briefed us on all the things. And the Electoral Commission, I had to even call Dr. Shiribo. And Dr. Shiribo, I wanted to just confirm that what they said was true. And Dr. Shiribo confirmed that that name is now there.
What would be your ideology?
I told you already. We are talking about transparency. We are talking about integrity. We are talking about love, like the patriotism towards our country. If you are patriotic, wherever you are, no one will bribe you to do the wrong thing, and you will take the money and do it. If you are credible, this country will not be the way it is. So our ideology, as I listen, even though we will go through all the terms, but our ideology will stand from honesty, transparency, credibility, and integrity.
Are you going to be center of right or leftist party? Which one are you going to be?
You know, the Limanism, as we usually coin it, is more about community, like building communities. It's based on building communities. So that is the ideology we are going to.
So you're going to continue with the PNC legacy?
We will continue with the PNC legacy,
but with a different name.
PNC. With a different name, but it's not even their legacy. It's Liman's different. When he was in the PNP, that was what he was preaching. And the second thing has to do with the PNP. Liman wanted to use the PNP in 1992, but they said there was a ban in it. So after CPP went and got it in 1996, Dr. Mahama came in. Liman was no more. So that is the reason why the PNC was picked. The PNC is just a passerby. It's not a decision. That wasn't our party's name. It's just a passerby. We were picking it to get somewhere. But it's not a decision. So the true party has come. And I know that the ranks and files of Ghanaians will join that party. Because that party is a party that will preach transparency, preach integrity, and preach patriotism to the people of Ghana.
Okay. Prince Henry Nkoforidua is a member of the NDC. He has sent me a message and he says, I should tell you to join the NDC for victory in 2024. Simple. What do you say to that?
You see, Ghana is not about victory. It's about how Ghanaians are crying and suffering under the regime of NPK and NDC, and they still want Ghana to vote for them. You know that, the NPP shouldn't be the only party that Ghanaians are lambasting. They are ruling this country with the NDC. All the ministries, corporations, agencies are under the umbrella of the supervision of parliament. So if Ghanaians are suffering, it is as a result of the rule of NPP and NDC. So tell me the reason why NDP and NDC will be ruling this country and they are crying.
So you're not joining, you're not going to join NDC?
I'm never going to join them. I'm just telling Ghanaians to know that NPP, they are not a party in opposition. No one should make that mistake. They are ruling this country hand in hand with the NPP, and all the negativity and positivity should be attributed to the two parties.
Has Dr. Ben Edward Mahama blessed your decision?
Please, this issue is about us. It's about us.
Did you tell him you are going to create a party? Did you tell him you are going to form a party?
We told him. He knows all what is happening.
Is he bankrolling you?
Oh, no.
Is he a member of your party?
please, Umazanda, please, this one. How can you listen? No, please.
Janet Nabla, is Dr. Edward Nasigri Mahama a member of your PMP?
I beg you. I'm not answering that question.
So the presumption or the claim that he's your bankroller and that you are his puppet is accurate then?
So that is what pains me and makes me sad. I have been telling people that Dr. Mahama, since the beginning of this problem, has been asking whether that is the right way to go. He has never in his life come out to say that I'm supporting this. But you see, some people will presume at times they call somebody to talk, he will be talking about Dr. Mahama. That man, one of the reasons why I kept my entire trust in politics has to do with that man and the things he taught me.
Okay. Finally, are you going to be the flag bearer?
That one, please. Because now we are running around the region just to make sure that our party offices are changed from PNP to PNP. So that is what
we. You are going to rebrand PNC offices across Ghana.
Yeah, it's our offices. All the offices.
No, it's not. It's not yours. It's a legal. It's a property. Copyright property of PNC.
So like CPFM, the way you are there. It's your building. Let's say that somebody paid for the building for you and you are operating at CPFM. If the person comes to the one who owns CPFM and tells him that, collect my key for me, they will just come and ask all of you to this. And they will give it out maybe to City TV and say that you should leave. Well, you don't see that.
Was the rent done in the name of Janet Nabla or in the name of PNC?
The rent was done in the name of one of the, especially the Umasi office, for instance. It was the one of our members who went and used personal money to pay for it.
I see.
So the man knows that he's the one who owns the office.
And that person is with you now.
He's with that.
What are your colors? I want to see whether you're going to incur a lot of cost changing the color.
White and green.
So all you need to do, PNC is green, red, white, and green. So just clean the red and then leave the white and green. What's your symbol?
The branch? This one is called something. No, it's a palm tree.
Palm tree.
Oh, this is the palm tree.
So the Kube fruit is for PNC, are the Kube tree.
No, we are Ayabe.
Ayakube. I think both will be fine. So they are all palms. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best for speaking to us.
Thank you.
That's Janet Nabla. She's a founder of a new party known as the People's National Party, breaking away from the People's National Convention PNC. The PNC is Ayakube. It's a coconut tree, and they are using ayabe. It's a palm tree. I think that should be palm nuts. I think one of the favorite soups of Hawa Idrisu Mustafa, my co-anchor. Tell us what has been happening in Ashanti region.
Well, the Asantekine Otumfo Seitu II has called on the government to confront reality and prioritize policy making that supports the establishment of industries to create more jobs and attract investment. He also proposed that the government should diversify public enterprises such as the Volta River Authority VRA and the Ghana Grid Company GridCo by involving the private sector to secure necessary financial investment. The Asantehene made these comments during the commissioning of a 430-kilometer natural gas pipeline by Genza Energy, which aims to enhance the country's power sector.
VRA and others are all government establishments. Let's give it out and divert to public private sector, and then we inject money in there. Zoom. And get the right people to do it. Zoom. GridCo and others and all are all for private sector. Let's give them the money, get the qualified people, divert government from it, and let them do it. Zoom. Other than that, electricity company is in a situation where we don't know, but that also must be divested and give it to private sector. Zoom. Why are we still holding it when we don't have the money? Zoom. We are not even able to collect all the taxes that we want. Zoom. We are going to IMF for money and all those things. We are hanging on to industries that we cannot maintain and run. Zoom. Look, it's about time we face realities and then decided on what government should be doing and what private sector should be doing. This is a testimony of private sector investment. And they were able to attract Mr. Oppenheimer. His family has all the money in South Africa. They were able to attract him to come here because he believed in private sector. And they've done it in various countries in Africa. So that is how we have to be looking at it, to attract more of these investments into the private sector so we can do it.
So that was the Asante Hene Otumfuo Osei-Tu to the second.
This Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. Let's speak to Kojo Poku Nsafua. He's a member of the New Patriotic Party and also an energy analyst. Kojo, you're welcome to Eyewitness News. The Asante Hene is saying that there should be a priority that should focus on establishing industries to create more jobs. He talks about that, but he also says that the VRA should be diversified. The Ghana Grid Company, same. You are the person who has been playing in this industry for some time now. Is that the solution to our doomsday problems?
My brother, for one, my name is Kojo Nsafuapo.
Sorry, say that again.
My name is Kojo Nsafuapo. Really, I don't know why everybody wants to put Nsafuapo at the end of
it. The Nsafuapo is nicer. They want you to have a nicer...
In the middle, let you stay in the middle.
Okay, no problem. We'll put in the middle henceforth. Apologies for putting the key in the middle. Okay.
Well, yeah, the key is the middle. And I don't think we have a doomsday problem. I think we have...
Oh, we do. Oh, we do. Maybe you don't have. Maybe you have an energy solution in your house.
I don't know what it means. I just know that we have an energy sector challenges.
I can explain to you. It's a tree coinage, which means power off, power on. Doomsday. That's what is happening. The power keeps going off.
Well, but what we are talking about is a long-term solution to the energy sector. I think what the Otumfuo is trying to point out is that we need a private sector participation in the energy sector. And it is not it's not lost on anybody that we do need that private sector investment. Look, as far back as 2016-17, the PDS was on the table, which is a compact tool with the U.S. That did not go, that went through and basically fell apart. And we thought the government will have aggressively pursue another form of private sector in ECG and then follow up to other value chain in the energy sector. The energy sector is a sector that before, it used to be only government run, because you go from Akosombo, which was VRA, to RICO, and to all the ECG distribution. Now, you have private sector playing 73% of the IPPs, which is the independent power producers, who are now private sector. Then you had Ghana Gas, which is the transmitter. But now you also have a part of the pipe transmission pipeline being played by Genza, who has also built this pipeline from Engineering to Awomaso, which is also private sector-led. And you need capital, you know, because if the government side does it, it means government is the majority shareholder. The investment has to come from government coffers, which we don't have the money. So, yes, there is a call in the right direction. We really need. And it's funny Otumfuo talks about, because these are things that some of us in the civil society space have been talking about, to diversify some of our portfolios, to raise money to do some of the developmental agendas that government have. You know, VRA is a good starting point. But for me, the big one that I think we should look at is Kapoha, Ghana Ports and Harbor, Ghana Airport. Why are we owning those things 100%? It doesn't make any sense.
But energy is a national security installation. You want us to hand that over to a private sector person?
Which part of it are you talking about, security? Which part of it?
The whole mix, the generation, the transmission, and the distribution.
What's the security about it?
Oh, if the owner decides to shut the system down, Jubilee House will be in darkness.
Yes, but diversifying doesn't mean that you sell. You see, there is a diversification, which means you are selling. There are various type of diversification, let me put it that way. When we started the diversity program as far back as 1987, okay, that at that point, the DIC was to sell not profitable ventures, sell them off 100%. But in 2021 upwards, when President Kufuor came, he was able to now bring a new form of diversification where we look at Ghana Commercial Bank, sorry, GCB now. We look at SIC and Well, where we diversify some interest, not to say that you are selling the whole entity, but diversify 45% and give the operatorship interest to a private sector to bring in the private governance that we are lacking. So nobody is saying that go and sell your transmission lines 100% to anybody. These exercises have been done across the world over and over.
But we've tried it in the past. Kojo, we tried it with Aqua Vitens run for Ghana Water Company somewhere in during the Kufuor administration. And then we recently did the ECGPDS deal.
Diversification. Let me correct. Aqua Vitens was not diversification. We gave the management. We own it 100%, but we gave the management. We did not sell shares of the company.
And the same with so the PDS is also a similar thing, right?
That's what I'm saying, that PDS was handled wrongly when we came up with this 50% Ghanaian ownership and all that. Look, I just feel that if Ghana wants to diversify, you want to sell 49% or whatever percentage of your interest to the private sector and let them bring in the required money and the expertise to run it. Don't be too passionate on the Ghanaian ownership. I know people have this soft spot that, oh, things have to be owned by Ghanaians. But that's where the problem starts, okay? So if you want good entrepreneur, good investors to come into your country and bring that money, don't be hanged up on the Ghanaian ownership thing. I personally think that we should move on away from that because there isn't enough money in this country to be able to buy some of these things. There isn't. That's the honest truth. So, look, Aqua Vitens was not a divestiture. It was a management contract that was given. PDS was the only one that we gave out on concession. And that one, because we went and introduced 51% Ghanaian ownership, it brought up all the problems that we saw that happen at the end of the day. But it's a right call, and some of us are very passionate about that.
Very well. Let's see how that goes. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much, my brother.
That's Kojo Nsafuapoko. He is an energy analyst speaking to us there on the proposal by the Otumfo Asantini Otumfo Osei Tutu. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. We'll be back with business news, and then we have Point Blank coming up next. Please stay.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
Get the details. Every significant financial transaction, every market movement, and all the policies that affect your business. City Business News. Be informed.
Time now for City Business News and Eyewitness News, brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan, make that big move and dream a reality. My name is Hawa Idrisu Mustafa. Details of our stories now. Recent data from the Ghana Statistical Service reveals a significant surge in the producer price inflation for March 2024, rising to 16.5% from February's 12.1%. The PPI reflects the average prices of goods and services received by domestic producers for their production activities. This increase indicates a 4.4 percentage point rise in producer price inflation compared to February 2024. The construction, electricity and gas, mine and quarrying and accommodation and food services sectors recorded rates above the national average, while the information and communication sector recorded the lowest rate of 6.2%. As part of effort to boost revenue mobilization and ensure economic growth, government has stated that it is seeking to raise its annual tax revenue target to improve the country's tax to GDP ratio. It explains that though it has increased its tax mobilization efforts in the formal sector in recent times, plans are far advanced to widen the tax base. Speaking during a panel discussion at the ongoing IMF World Bank spring meetings in Washington, D.C. on the theme, the Deputy Finance Minister, Abnause Asare, highlighted measures government is putting in place to ensure growth.
When you compare Ghana to our peers with the same level of income and same structure of the economy, in terms of revenue collection, we're doing quite a bit low. Currently, we're doing around 13% of tax to GDP ratio, and amongst our peers, they're doing in Africa 16.6%, and then OECD around 33.5%. So clearly, there's a challenge that we need to fix to enable us also, and the potential is there. to mobilize more revenue. And so there are a lot of things that we need to address. It's one of the challenges that we see in Ghana is the narrow tax base. Most of the economy is not formalized. When I say that, I mean that most of the people are in the informal sector, and so we are not able to capture and then bring them onto the tax when it comes to payment of direct taxes. Another issue or another challenge that we're working hard to address has to do with the tax evasion and avoidance on the domestic front and then in the corporate sector as well.
Abner Osei Asare is the Minister of State at the Finance Ministry. In a bid to boost Ghana's economic landscape, Absa Bank Ghana Limited, a key player in the nation's financial sector, is doubling down on its commitment to foster business growth. The bank's latest move involves extending support to exporters, aiming to unlock the vast potential within the African Continental Free Trade Area. At the recent Absa Export Advantage Forum, Interim Managing Director Adolf Pega underscored the importance of equipping businesses with actionable insight to capitalize on the intra-African trade opportunities.
We have mastered the creation of mutually beneficial relationships that prioritizes our clients' and stakeholders' interests and are positioned to facilitate your business to explore the opportunities that intra-African trade presents. As a member of the Absa Group and with over 100 years' presence on the continent, we will expose your business to our regional footprints, our deep continental knowledge, our industry specialist expertise across various sectors within our group. We will provide you with a diversified pre- and post-shipment trade and working capital advisory and financial service solutions. We will help you manage your risks, particularly as we trade within Africa. We'll be exposed to interest rates and FX rates. We will help provide you hedging solutions to protect your businesses against the volatilities in these parameters. This places us in an ideal position to support your business to explore new markets opportunities within Africa. Absa will be your guide and your facilitator, helping you navigate the threats and complexities of new markets with confidence.
That was the Interim Managing Director of Absa Bank Ghana Limited, Adolf Pega. On his part, the Head of Trade and Working Capital at Absa Bank Ghana Limited highlighted the need for businesses to embrace pan-African payment systems in their transactions across borders.
We as a pan-African bank are leveraging on our network of banks, including our subsidiaries on the continent. So we are present in 12 countries on the continent, leveraging on our relationship to offer solutions in terms of settlement of trades. And that is why it is important that businesses on the continent partners with a pan-African bank like Absa, which has a wide reach on the continent. So I would say that in terms of payment settlement solution, you leveraging on our network offers opportunity for businesses on the continent to still do trade and settle. But most importantly, also taking advantage of the PAPS, which gradually I know about in excess of 12 countries are now getting on board. On the West African region, I think it's been well integrated with trades happening across Nigeria, and other locations. So I believe it's still the right time, and we as Absa will continue to support businesses to be able to trade.
Emmanuel Mensah is Head of Trade and Working Capital at Absa Bank Ghana Limited. The Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana has likened attempt to introduce genetically modified crops into the country's food chain to an intensified form of illegal mining. The association contends that the adoption of GMOs should be vehemently opposed, as the international trade market highly values organically produced food, arguing that the promotion of GMOs could undermine Ghana's agricultural sector. Although the National Biosafety Authority has already clarified that it has not approved the cultivation of the seeds of 14 genetically modified products in Ghana, the Peasant Farmers Association says it is closely monitoring the situation to safeguard the interest of consumers. Here is the Head of Programs and Advocacy at the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, Bismarck Tete Owusu Norte.
In the dialogue, it was made clear that the soybean industry is a multi-million industry. And if you look at the premium prices, there's premium price for conventional or non-GM soybean. So you could tell that the farmers and industry people were excited and that they pledged that we have to do more to encourage more production of non-GM soybean, because that is what the market needs. So it is shocking that the industry players are themselves ready to cultivate non-GM because they see the potential in it. Meanwhile, our NBA is telling you that no, they feel that there are one or two people who are telling them to import GMOs into their country, so they are going to do that. This cannot be accurate. So we are saying that if you allow GMOs, it's like we are allowing calamity. We will not allow that to happen. Our farmers will and will always resist the GMOs.
That was the head of programs and advocacy at the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, Bismarck Tete Owusu Norte, in Din City Business News on Eyewitness News. The Business News on Eyewitness News is brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan, make that big move and dream a reality. My name is Hawa Idrisu Mustafa. Up next is Point Blank.
This is Point Blank on Eyewitness News. My name is Umaru Sanda Amado. Tonight on Point Blank, well, at the top of the show, or the beginning of the show, we told you about the dismemberment or the disintegration of the People's National Convention with the breakaway PNP. On Point Blank, we are talking about the unification of various movements into one group, a grand coalition of a sort. We're talking about the butterfly movement. Alan Kwejo Tremantin's butterfly, Afafranto. Today, they did what they call the great merger or the great announcement, where the movement for change of Alan Tremantin joined with Dr. Abusakara Foster's meme movement. Dr. Abusakara Foster was once a CPP flag bearer. So let's talk more about that. Yao Buamena Samoa is a former MP and a member of the Movement for Change. He's joining us on the line. YB, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Thank you very much, Umar Sanda.
Talk to us about the grand launch or the grand merger today.
I like the rhythm of grand, because it is a turning point, really, in the politics of Ghana. So what it is that it's an alliance of several movements and political parties, chief among them being the Movement for Change, led by, as you are aware, Alan Tremantin, Alan Cash. And then the National Interest Movement, led by Dr. Abusakara Foster, Ghana First Coalition, Bishop Dr. Samuel Noy Mensah, and then Apostia Del Dike is also involved, Union Government. You didn't mention his name.
I actually didn't know the full detail of who and who have joined you. So kindly share with us. Who else? Odike is joining you.
Yeah, Dike is a signatory to the alliance. And it's an open-ended process. As we speak, more and more people are coming on board. Essentially, the alliance offers
So currently you have, of course, the Movement for Change. You are the mega brand. Then you have the NIM, National Interest Movement of Dr. Sakara, that's two. You have Odike's group. What's the name of his political party?
Union Government.
Yes.
Odike's Union Government.
So that's three. Which other groups joined you?
The Ghana First Coalition.
Okay.
We have the Ghana National Party.
Okay.
We have the Ghana Green Party.
I see.
We have the Third Force Movement. We have the non-aligned voters of Ghana. Mm-hmm. And then we have individuals, including Mr. Henry Asante, who is the National Second Vice Chairman of PNC, and Mr. Wilson, Emmanuel Wilson, Crusaders Against Corruption, and others who are in the queue to sign, and therefore will have their names out very soon.
I see. So you have become a movement plus, plus, plus.
We are open-ended, and the more people who can come on board, the better. Because
because that's the essence of what we are doing, bringing together like-minded people who want to move beyond the duopoly of MPP and DC.
The third force movement you talked about, is that the Cheddar group?
No. This is third force movement is represented in Ghana at the moment by Mrs. Augustina Kuju Gagakuma. Engineer Julius is in Australia. He founded the Third Force Movement. It's a very strong movement on the ground. That's not Cheddar's movement.
I see. I've just, my attention has been drawn that Cheddar is new force. So yes, this is Third Force.
That's right.
What does it mean when a political organization like the ones you've mentioned, like Odike's party, for instance, decides to join you? Does it mean they cease to be parties and they've decided that they will join with you and take your shape and your colors, or they will keep being the parties that they are, but they would work with you in an alliance? How is the merger supposed to be like?
The second aspect of your question, it's a very important question.
So it's not an acquisition, it's a merger.
We are not merging. That means we are not losing our individual identities. If you merge, then everybody loses their identity. They will maintain their identity, but we are in an alliance around a common purpose. And the alliance has endorsed Mr. Alan Chematin as the presidential candidate. So the Alliance for Revolutionary Change is a grouping, and it is still open for many others to join, of like-minded people who are after changing the current political situation. So like you said, nobody is losing their core identity. However, they all subscribe to the ideals of the Alliance for Revolutionary Change. And the Alliance has endorsed Mr. Chematin as the presidential candidate. Mr. Chematin is going to continue to campaign on the platform of the Movement for Change. He'll be the candidate of the Alliance, but he will campaign as the Movement for Change, the leader and founder of the Movement for Change.
But,
so it's a joint effort, mm-hmm. but nobody is losing the identity.
So you mentioned something about revolution. Which one is going to be the group that you identify with henceforth? Is it going to be a Movement for Change or the Alliance for Revolution? I'm not clear on that.
The Alliance for Revolutionary Change is a canopy. I hesitate to use umbrella since our opponents use an umbrella. It's a canopy mm-hmm. under which everybody with an ideal to move beyond the duopoly is welcome. Individuals, political entities, movements, political parties, we are working very hard to bring everybody together under this canopy. And that canopy is the Alliance for Revolutionary Change, because we believe that there must be revolutionary change, peaceful, lawful revolutionary change in this country. The way we run our governance, the ideals we espouse as Ghanaians, and the vision of where we want to go. It's so important that we have real, genuine change. And this group has endorsed Mr. Alan John Kwaju Chematin as their presidential candidate. They are all going to campaign for him. But the symbol he will use and will continue to use is that of the Movement for Change.
Who would be using? Is that going to be a logo or an emblem representing the Alliance Revolution? We're not going to have that.
We will have the name is a description of the group. It's not a merger.
So it's not going to be a logo that you're going to outdoor. Okay. Are you going to have these other parties that have joined you still keep their logos and emblems in place? Because then there will be a clash of identities within
there. There will not be a clash. The fact that you have your party identity and yet you're working for the advancement of the presidency, the independent presidency of Mr. Chematin, means that if your logo used to be green, you go into the field with green and yellow. Because
there'll be a lot of confusion on the field.
That's what you are assuming. But all of these parties are not going to be fighting for themselves. They have an identity, but they will be fighting through that identity for the advancement of Mr. Chematin as the first independent president of the Republic of Ghana. It's a model that we believe can work.
I see.
Because you don't want a situation where at this time you are going in to set up an entirely new process where everybody loses their identity. It's not ideal.
Which means then they are not going to sponsor presidential candidates.
No. There is only going to be one presidential candidate for the Alliance for Revolutionary Change.
Is there an agreement on who is going to be running mate based on the coalition?
No, that will come.
Any that of the come. Persons penciled for that?
Those processes are all scheduled. So the announcements will come in due course.
You were in the MPP in 96 when Kufuor led the Great Alliance. Is that a similar thing you're doing?
I would rather not do any comparisons with the MPP.
No, because I'm looking at the success of that alliance. Yeah, I'm looking at the success of that alliance to judge how your alliance is going to perform now.
Yes, it was also a loose alliance. And then the NDC had a progressive alliance. That one too was loose because none of them changed their identity, if you recall. They had the alliance, they had the name covering the group of parties who came together. But none of the parties changed their name to that of the alliance only. They maintained their party identities, but the Progressive Alliance fell in behind N. Chema Rollins, President Rollins, to become their candidate. And then the Great Alliance fell in behind then candidate Kufuor.
Okay. Now, if you're going to have an alliance, why didn't you wait to form the alliance and let the alliance elect a flag bearer? Why do you already have a flag bearer before you create the alliance? Is that not an imposition of a candidate on the alliance?
No, it's part of the process. Signatories to the alliance believe that we are combining our forces, our energies, to give a genuine tilt at securing executive authority in this country, to effect the reforms that will lead us towards the promised land. Constitutional reforms, all other reforms. Mr. Chemating is not a marginal candidate. He brings value, gravitas, and certain kind of vision to the alliance. The alliance also comes with numbers. So you have numbers that meet gravitas. It's a value situation where everybody is coming together with their niche value. And it's those niche values combined that will give us the power to secure the executive authority of the country. So there's nothing like an imposition on anybody. It's a process that has been going on. You recall that the big announcement was literally announced earlier, if you recall. The big announcement,
yes.
Notice of the big, yes, it was. And these negotiations, these understandings have been forged carefully. So everybody appreciates the situation that what you need is a dominant political figure who will lead this process, known in character of integrity, known with a vision, known with an impeccable record. And then you have the numbers in groups and political groupings, smaller parties, individual personalities who by themselves may not be able to achieve executive authority to ensure the transformation that they all seek. So if you bring them all together and you have a personality, a powerful personality like Mr. Chemating in the lead, it simply adds value, it adds strength, it adds credibility, it adds viability to the process that has been undertaken. So the alliance is taking off on the front foot very strongly. It's already selected and endorsed this presidential candidate. Drive voters beyond the duopoly and give ourselves the relief of another political grouping developing the means by which we can move our country forward.
So what next for Movement for Change and this alliance as well?
We've launched today. So next, of course, is that we are going to continue campaigning vigorously. And then, as I said, all the other structures follow. Vice President, the announcements of various things as they go on. But we are campaigning.
Very well. Wish you all the best and thank you so much for speaking to us.
I'm very grateful. Thank you too.
That's lawyer Yao Boabin Asamoah. He's a member of the Movement for Change. He's former MP for Adenta. He's part of the key members of the New Patriotic Party who joined Alan Kwadwo Chamantin when he decided to quit the New Patriotic Party. This is Point Blank on Eyewitness News. Before we go, let me just say that earlier on the show, we spoke to Janet Nabla. She is the leader of a new party known as PNP. She made some allegations against Abdullah Ishaq of the PNC, allegations bordering to his relationship with Bernard Mona and the Speaker of Parliament. I tried to have her correct that, but she would not. So I just want to say that we wish to dissociate ourselves with that comment that was made by Janet Nabla against Abdullahi Ishaq. We have no evidence to prove her claims. And Abdullahi Ishaq has said to us that he would sue her for defamation and that she lied blatantly against his person. So just by way of information and also a retraction of that particular statement on behalf of CTFM. We do not associate with what Janet Nabla said. Meanwhile, in the health sector, yesterday we saw a demonstration by some rotational nurses. Today it was a turn of unposted environment health officers. So the group is Unposted Environmental Health Officers and Assistants. They went to the streets of Tamale today in the northern region to protest over their unemployment situation. The group is strongly expressing discontent towards the government and its agencies, namely the Ministry of Sanitation and Water Resources, the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Local Government and Decentralization, as well as Rural Development, for its failure to grant financial clearance to the over 1,600 officers who completed their studies at the three schools of hygiene in the country. Some of the unposted health officers have been speaking to City News.
When you look at the fees paid and as at now, your parents are expecting that at least you get something small to be helping them. You have to even ask them for some petty things in addition to what they are feeding you, how they are feeding you. I mean, at least if they break like this and you see your colleagues going to work and other stuff, and you have been in the house for almost 3 years, this is our third year in the house. So we are very frustrated. And it's not that we have not made contacts. We have made a lot of contacts with the ministry. They are telling us that there's ban on employment. We just wish that they should look at our direction and have pity on us.
We are suffering. We are crying out today. The house is not good at all. Now, even with our parents, they are like, oh, is it true that you completed your school? Is it true that you completed? Because this is so and so, the person has completed and this person is working. Why are you still in the house? We are crying to the government. Please, they should help us. They should look at our face and then they should post us. The people need us. Our environment is very dirty. They need environmental health officers.
You heard some unposted environmental health officers speaking to City News during their demonstration in Tamale today. Their PRO, Jacob Adai, said the demonstration has become the only option left for them.
Just yesterday, receiving a call from what one of our colleagues that the parents are sacking her from now because she has become a burden upon them. When is her husband coming to take her out? Unemployment. We are calling on IGP as well. It's a national security threat. As possible as agency to duly what? Seek intervention to clear us and post us. This demonstration has become necessary after several engagements with stakeholders in the Ministry of Sanitation. The first time we went, they told us that there's ban on employment. After that, only for us to hear that other sectors have been given employment. Are environmental health officers not part of the country?
What?
We are citizens. We are not spectators. As the president said. And let me note, prevention is better than cure.
Yes.
Prevention is better than cure. So we are calling on government. As Manado said, he wants Accra to be the cleanest city. He can't do that without our help. We are not coming to do a magic to change that. But with our addition to our officers who are already involved. In fact, go to some of the area councils who are managing about 20 communities. They only have only two officers. How can these two officers manage these communities? Is this not bad?
That's Jacob Adai. He's a public relations officer of the unposted environmental health offices. That would be it for Eyewitness News tonight. My name is Umaru Sanda Amadu. I did this with Hawa Idrisio Mustafa. Production by Bevelyn London, Sami Wiafe, and Kobna Wilson. Technical support from Daniels. From Daniel Squashy. New media support from Edwin Kwakofi. We'll be back tomorrow at 17:30 GMT. Thank you for listening and have a good night.
City News. We speak first. Reach our hotline on 0302-224959 and get interactive on Facebook, City 97.3 FM, and on Twitter at City 973.